This podcast is sponsored by Low No Drinker magazine, the number one UK magazine for the sober, curious drinker, bringing you news, reviews and interviews from the people, places and brands leading the low and no alcohol revolution. As a Sober Rebel listener, use code SOBERREBEL15 to get 15% off any digital or print subscription from the Low No Drinker magazine for 6 whole months. Hello and welcome to the Sober Rebel podcast, where I talk to my guests about the benefits of sobriety, what they've noticed it's brought to them, and we talk about the things they're doing now or experiencing that they never would have as a drinker. And today I'm talking to Jackie. I absolutely loved this conversation and I loved catching up with her and getting to know her better. So Jackie, hello. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's so lovely to see you at last.
Yeah, you too. And thank you very much for having me. I'm so excited when I received your message. I was in Marks and Spencer's and I got the ping and I was like, no way. So I do feel like I'm on some celebrity podcast. I've made it.
Oh, that is so lovely.
I'm so excited and thank you for inviting me.
So tell me a little bit about your sober journey.
Okay. Well, it's a long one because I'm now 63. And I guess with alcohol, it's been in my life since the age of 15. I started going out to pubs and clubs at 15. How I got in, I have no idea, being 5 foot and looking 12. But, you know, in those days, you just did. And also, I've been thinking back, my mum had an issue with alcohol. So maybe I was predisposed to having the same problem. I don't know. It's something I noticed growing up. You'd have thought that would put me off, but no, it didn't. So yeah, so from 15 up until, you know, going through the teenage years, early 20s, I wasn't an at-home drinker at that point. But I did binge drink at the weekends. You know, I was always out partying, you know. So for me, it continued. But as I say, I didn't really think I had a drink problem at all at that point. It wasn't known, you know, it wasn't spoken about, really. You know, binge drinking, I didn't know that term.
So and what decade was that, Jackie?
That was the late 70s.
Yeah.
Early 80s.
They didn't really talk about it though, then.
No, they didn't. They didn't at all. It was like everyone went out and got blind drunk, you know. And when I think back to those days, you know, how I've survived that, and thankfully, touch wood so far, you know, no health issues, but it was just the done thing. So that carried on. I have health issues, well, medical issues, whereby what maybe stopped me later on in my 20s was I had mobility issues because I was born with a hip deformity and my hips at this point were very loose. So I wasn't going out partying. I wasn't able to go out partying and I didn't drink. You know, drink wasn't an issue at all in those days. Maybe medicating myself probably was helping to dumb it down. I don't know. But then eventually I met a partner and I had my first son at 33. So, and again, I wasn't really into drinking. I ended up finding myself as a single parent when he was 3 months old, which was a difficult time. But, you know, we got through that again, not really drinking too much. But then I started going out again. I had my first hip replacement at 29. So my mobility had improved by this time. So I had an aunt who looked after my son. So I was able to go out partying. And then I met my now husband. And he doesn't drink very much at all. If he does drink, it's a couple of beers here and there. But, you know, if we're going out anywhere, he was always the driver and all the rest of it. So I just got away with it at that point. And then I had my youngest son. So when I married my husband, I also gained a stepdaughter, which was lovely. And then we had our son. I had my second son at the age of 41. So very similar to yourself.
I was going to
Yeah,
say, yeah.
which, was quite an age. However, he's brought with him a new lease of life. It's fantastic. Anyway, but of course, we moved areas and we moved to a really nice area. And then we got into the culture of drinks after, after school on a Friday, things like that. We would all get together, couples, and it was just, and that started me off drinking more than I should. But by the t in 2010, I had weight issues because obviously I was drinking too much. And one of my problems was I was a comfort eater as well, because due to the childhood trauma that I had with all this, the hip problems that I had, family would bring in treats. Because I was in hospital, family would bring in treats. Like in those days, it was Marks and Spencer's treats. Now, when I was growing up, you had very little snacky treats in the house. That was just something that you didn't have. So I was given these treats, and it was a comfort because I was in hospital. And in those days, your parents weren't allowed to stay with you and things like that. So I was eating these treats, and then that carried on through my life. So of course, I'm still comfort eating, emotional stuff up and down. And then the weight piled on because I was drinking probably too much too. So in 2010, I decided to have a gastric bypass. I was like 5 stone overweight. And it was after the gastric bypass that things just escalated for me. And the reason for that is transfer addiction. Now, when I had the gastric bypass, the dietitian did mention it, but it was a passing comment. With unless you work out your emotional issues, you will likely transfer to something else. And of course that happened. And I just found myself drinking more and more. Well, not so more and more. It was a bottle of wine, and it was 9 times out of 10, 7 nights a week. I would occasionally try to cut down and for all the rest of it. But then I was finding latterly, before I decided to go sober, that I was having maybe a couple of gins on top of that as well. More at the weekend, and maybe starting drinking earlier in the day at the weekend. So it was really becoming a problem. The worst thing was, it was my adult children. It was beginning to affect them. Because in any social occasion, I would just take it too far. I didn't have a stop button either. And of course, we would have these debates, because the young, thankfully now, think totally differently to how I was brought up. But of course, once I had a few drinks in me and we would be debating something, then I would always say the wrong thing. And it is the wrong thing. It's not like I feel beaten down by that. But, because of how I was feeling or what I thought, and of course, that would cause an issue. And then, of course, you can imagine I'm drunk and they're looking, thinking, oh, here she goes again. It's horrible, horrible, horrible.
And would those things that you may say when you were drinking, would they be something that you'd say sober, or was it just
No,
purely,
no, 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 I wouldn't say them sober. No. But I think when you have alcohol in you, you've got this strong opinion. You think you're right. You're totally right. And of course, when you're sober, now looking back, I can think, no, just I sit back now and wait and think about things. It's not that I'm quiet, but I just think before I speak. Whereas when you're not sober, it just comes out. So, yeah, that was beginning to cause an issue. And it did, in fact, for a couple of Christmases. I'm thinking it was Christmas 2022 and 2023. We, instead of having Christmas at home, we went and had a nice fancy hotel staycation. And of course, drinks are on the tap. And if you're at home at Christmas, you're doing the cooking, so you're keeping yourself as sober as you can, although you are drinking a glass of wine while you're doing the cooking. But with this staycation, it was just, oh, next drink. And there was a gin tasting and there was a this and a that. And it just continued. And of course, I would expect, you know, how Christmas is supposed to be this most wonderful time of the year. And after having a few drinks, I would think, is this it? You know, what's going on? And of course, none of my kids have got any children. So unless there's children around, you really, Christmas is a little bit, can be a little bit flat. So, you know, I would then start getting sulky and maybe fall out with my husband about something he said. It would be like, oh, here you go again. And in both of, after both of those Christmas occasions, we came home and my sons had the conversation with me, mostly the eldest son. Now, before I came on and did this podcast, I have got his permission to talk about this. I've just mentioned that because I think that's important. Before, I wouldn't have asked permission. I would have just, but you know, being sober, you realize there's his privacy to think about too. But anyway, it was more my eldest son, and his concern was more my health. And in one of the conversations, he said, "Mom, I need you in my life." Hope I don't get too emotional because it is, I'm really determined to be strong here. He says, "I want you in my life. And if you continue to drink the way you're drinking," because they are more aware now of how much alcohol affects everyone. He said, "I need you in my life. And I'm just seeing that I could lose you." And that was really hard. And also, and he's like, "Why did you have to? You spoiled it. You know, we were having a lovely time, but you had too much to drink, and then we'll have an argument. I end up storming away, or he stormed away, you know, and it's just not fair. We don't need this." Now, you might, and this happened the following year as well. So of course I did during that first year say, "Oh, I must cut down, I must cut down." And then the second year it happened again. Exactly the same thing happened. And I still didn't make big changes. I still couldn't. Do you know what was wrong with me? I just could not imagine a life without alcohol. I couldn't imagine it. I thought, my, you know, they're living their life. These were my thoughts. They're living their life. They want me to have a life without alcohol. I can't have that because I need alcohol in my life. So what do I do? And it was just so debilitating. And this is when my anxiety started to really ramp up. It was like I was just anxious all the time and anxious when we were together. And of course, other situations arose, but nothing was too bad. However, it came to a head. We went on a family cruise in June 2023, and we had a ball. But of course, we had the drinks packages, and of course, drink again is on, alcohol is on tap. And in the cruise was absolutely fine, and of course, we were having a good time, so I had no reason to sulk or anything because we were really having a ball. But it did come to a head on the second last night, which is gala night. And if you've been on a cruise, you'll know gala night's the big dress-up affair. And I have to say, I felt $1 million with someone that was always heavy, and I had on this beautiful red dress, and I felt like a queen. I really did. So I was out to go for it that night, you know. But clearly, I overstepped the mark, and I could just feel the tension in the room, especially from my eldest son. Stepdaughter and youngest son kind of just put up with me, you know, whereas I could just feel the tension in him. But of course, because at this point I'm drunk, I'm thinking, no, I'm not being controlled. I'm not being controlled. I want to enjoy myself. You're enjoying yourself. I want to enjoy myself. By this time, my husband had gone because that was a normal when we were on holiday. My husband would go to bed and leave me socializing with strangers sometimes, you know. But I, because they were there and they were going to the club or whatever, I was going with them. 63-year-old woman, behave yourself. So of course the tension was building and building, and eventually I blew up, totally blew up. And you know, I was saying, I'm feeling controlled, you're not going to control me, and walked away, and you know, the whole scenario again. And of course went back to the cabin and was annoyed, thinking, no, this is not right. I should be able to enjoy myself. Well, of course you can imagine. You wake up the next day and go, oh God. So got in touch with my son and we met for breakfast. And that was the day my life changed, because the heartbreak in that boy's face. Well, it was, he was crying. He was at a loss. And he said, Mum, I can't do this anymore. And he said, you know, I want you to be in my life, but while you're drinking, I am going to have to remove myself from social situations for my own mental health. And seeing his tears and his chin was shuddering, and I was looking at him thinking, what the hell am I doing to my boy? What? So unfortunately, his partner, his girlfriend, was ill that day. And my husband, they took some form of a bug, as you do in cruise ships at times. So I ended up going, we were in Naples that day, and I ended up going into Naples with my youngest son. And I just cried the whole way in, cried, 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 cried. In fact, no, my husband was there at that point. We had to go back. So I was behind them, just crying, just felt terrible. But then my husband went back. So my son and I went for lunch. And what did I do? Sat down and ordered a large glass of red wine. And I think it was just to calm me, because we think we need this to calm us down. And I had a conversation with my youngest son, and I said to him, you know, why are you not so vocal about how much I'm drinking? And his answer to me, which was the killer punch, it really was the killer punch, he said, there's no point. And I went, okay. But you know, we came home from that cruise and I didn't stop there. And then, and in fact, while I was thinking about this, I was so glad I didn't, because I don't think I would be here. I had to process it. I had to process, because I think I've said I just couldn't see a life without alcohol. And I think at that point, my drinking got a little bit worse, if I'm honest, because it was like I was stuck. I was trapped. I didn't know what to do. Thankfully, I wasn't in a social situation with my eldest son, but he knew I hadn't stopped drinking. And we didn't have the conversation. I mean, we did have a conversation after the cruise, and I said, you know, I am going to change, but if I remember, I'm not really 100% sure on that one. Anyway, it took me until the August, and I went to a family barbecue. My eldest son wasn't there, my youngest son was. And I just had a blowout. Now, I don't know if it was a subconscious thing. I don't know. I've no idea. But I made, as you could say, another, sorry if I can use this expression, I made a tit of myself for another Prosecco. By this time, everyone's winding down. My hand's out for another Prosecco. Got home blind drunk. You know, that is just not a good look for a 63-year-old woman. You know, my youngest son haven't helped me in the car and all that stuff. Anyway, I woke up the next day, 14th of August 2023, and I thought, I'm done. I am. Well, did I do it at that point? I don't know, because what happened was I was scrolling TikTok. In fact, I was in bed. I don't know about you, but when I was drinking, I always pretended I was absolutely fine. You know, and the next day, if I, especially if I'd overdone it, you wouldn't get find me lying in bed, because I would be, you know, I'm fine and feeling dreadful inside.
Yeah, you don't admit it.
No,
You don't.
you don't. But this day, I I stayed in bed. I physically couldn't really do anything. I think I was emotionally drained as well because I thought, here we go again, what's going on? And I was scrolling TikTok and I was sober curious, obviously. I had been for months. And of course, it comes on your For You page. And then this guy popped up. And I think it was just meant to be. And it was No Booze Chrissy. He no longer posts. His posts are still there. And I just clicked. Something clicked. He was on like day 33, and everything he was saying totally resonated with me. And I thought, right. I made up my mind that day, I will not drink again. And I, looking back, I think I can't believe I came to that decision that day. Oh, what I was going to say, I've just noticed, was that speaking about the gastric bypass, it's this transfer addiction. I know four people, including myself, who've had the gastric bypass, and three out of the four have or had alcohol issues. So that's something I think it's really important to point out. One person's not doesn't drink, because alcohol is not an issue. One had a problem like me and has stopped, and another person that I know has gone into full-blown alcoholism. So it really is something to think about. There you go, I've digressed.
But that's a really good point
It
in that,
is.
when you deal with one issue, you have to deal with the root cause. You
You
can't
do.
just deal with the
You do.
symptoms.
You do.
So even when you stop drinking, you still then need to look at how do I now deal with emotions and stress? Like you say, that day, your gut instinct was actually to have that glass of red wine, even though it was that liquid that was causing all the problems
Correct.
and the
Yes.
tears anyway.
Yeah.
It's a learned behavior.
It is. It is. And I just wanted to feel calm. And that's another thing the gastric bypass does, is your metabolism and absorption is totally different. And that's the reason I was still able to lose weight whilst I was drinking, because calories are not absorbed the same. So that's another thing. And of course, when you drink after having surgery like that, you get an instant hit. And I mean instant. And that hit lasts longer as well. So that's another thing.
That makes it more addictive.
It does. And I think that's why. Anyway, so here I am scrolling on my phone, and I just decided, because I made up my mind that day that moderation was never ever going to work for me. And that's, to me, my day one, I've stuck at day one. I haven't gone back. You know how there's so many people, I think yourself, you said you had your day one in October. I hadn't ever said, I'm not drinking. It was always, I'm going to cut down. So that moderation, I would measure my drink, my alcohol. I would, last Monday to Thursday and not drink. Then before I knew where I was drinking alcohol again. And it just, that was the vicious cycle. It was just, so I, on the 14th of August, I said, I'm not drinking again. And that's what I did. And here we are. I'm 617 days today.
Congratulations.
And I'm just, my life has changed. My life has absolutely changed. Obviously, we'll get into relationships, because those, I've got my three things that have changed or I've noticed. And yes, just life is different. Life is happy. Life is content. The contentment is just liberating. Really is. And I'm just very happy now, and I just won't ever drink again.
So yeah, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? And I think that's the big difference is when you're telling yourself, I'm going to cut back or I'm
Oh,
going to take a break,
yeah.
it's hard. And I know it seems really, really, really scary to say I'm never going to drink
It
again.
is.
And you don't need to use the words never going to drink again, but you've got to go into sobriety, not I'm going to limit it or I'm going to drink until that holiday or
Yeah.
because it'll play in your brain. You're always playing with that kind of angel and devil on your shoulder
Oh,
anyway.
always. It's constant. Anxiety builds through that, because you just can't get there, and you can't understand why you can't. And I just think moderation is just, it's exhausting.
It
totally
is.
Exhausting. It's constantly there. And until you get past that, it does take a while. That's the thing. It's not instant. It takes time. And I would say for me, it was a good, well, I think when you reach your first milestone, like your 100 days, in fact, I was on an all-inclusive holiday on my 100th day. And, you know, and I now post on TikTok myself. That was one thing I wanted to mention, that not that I'm looking for followers or anything, because I'm not interested in that. It held me accountable.
Yeah.
After I connected with this page or whatever you call it on TikTok, I then thought, you know what, maybe I could do this myself. I certainly couldn't have posted every day, but I thought, I'm going to post once a week. I'm just going to go for it. And I've done that. I've stopped posting every week now, because I feel there's only so much you can say. Anyway, it's been great for me. And also it's good to look back, because your posts stay there. So
it's quite an interesting mix, actually. If you look at it from a psychological perspective, you've got a sort of journaling element to it. So you're collating data, you're being self-reflective, so you're engaging metacognition. And then also you have this accountability, because you feel like you're building community connecting with other people, and you'd have to, and that's exactly what I used Instagram for. And you don't have to put your face on these accounts, but if you don't want to go to a meeting, or if you don't want to join a community of any sort, it is a really good idea to just have something that holds you accountable. Mention it to a friend or something.
Yes. And also, I felt, if I, not that I ever felt that I was wanting, well, there are times, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I've got to 617 days and not had my struggles, because I have. But I've been able to work through the struggles. And also, I didn't want to let my followers down. You know, it's like, I felt I had, you know, my family are the most important people to me. But at the same time, I was worried about, oh, if I was to have this drink, then what would I say on TikTok? It's crazy.
It sounds like such a small thing. And unless you've been there, you wouldn't understand that.
Yeah.
But it does, because I was posting and saying, right, I've gone back to day one. All right, okay, come on, you can do this.
Yeah.
I've gone back to day one. Come on, you can do this. And I left all those posts up there to show that it isn't always linear. But
no.
it has now, I mean, now it's got to a point where there is just no way. There's so many different reasons I wouldn't drink. So many different reasons.
Yes.
All the benefits, and, you know, it's changed my life unbelievably. But there was that sort of middle point where, actually, I've got some momentum going here, but the thing that's keeping me sober is I don't want to have to go and post. This is another day one.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. And I forgot to mention, of course, round about this time, I found you too. And seriously, that's been such a help. And how you have the energy to post every day, I find I'm so in awe of that. I really do think. And in fact, I was speaking to a friend when I first started following you, and I would comment on some of your posts. And of course, we're out having a chat. And I said, you know, I'm sure Louisa has got staff. She probably has staff to answer. Because I seriously thought, how can you possibly answer everyone all the time? Do your podcast, do your clinic, do your... I have no idea. So hats off to you. It's amazing.
I had this, the drinking dulled down my energy. And then when I removed alcohol, it was like, what do I do with all this energy? And, you know, rightly or wrongly, it got channeled into Instagram. Then it was like, right, I'll start a podcast. Right, I'll write a book. I'll do this. I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll do a master's, you know.
I really do wonder. But thank you. Thank you. Because your daily posts, I don't look at everything, because I would be on Instagram all day if I was to do that. But you do post a post every day.
I do.
And I do like to acknowledge that. And it just every day, if anyone's listening to this podcast and haven't followed you yet on Instagram, I would thoroughly recommend that, because every day And you can just hit the nail on the head. I don't know what it is. It's just everything you see, I just nodding, nodding, nodding. And I just have to say, yes, 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 yes. It's brilliant. And it sets you up for the day. First thing I do in the morning is open up your post. And it just sets me up for the day, knowing why I'm going to stay sober.
Oh, that, I'm so pleased it helps. And I do get lots of messages from people saying, you know, I had one message one day because my internet was playing up here. And if I haven't got the internet, I haven't got phone signal. And so somebody actually messaged come 11 o'clock, no Louisa this morning. And the actual post had gone out, but my story hadn't gone up because I normally do a little story, don't I? Just saying good morning, you know.
And
It's just, yeah. So I do know that people are kind of, they do enjoy it. Yeah, they do enjoy it. So I'm like, do you know what? I enjoy doing it. Yeah. I love it. It's sort of a sense of community. And
it is.
And I love hearing, you know, people are sending me messages and saying, look, I've just been quietly following you and now I'm 320 days sober. Mm-hmm.
Or... Oh, well, I've had the same. You know, I just find that so inspiring. For me, it's just like I've helped someone. You know, it's great. It is
and
great.
That's what life's about, isn't it? You know, sort yourself out, then reach back and help other people that you mm-hmm. can understand what it's like. Mm-hmm. And it is like going, right, come on, come and join me.
Yeah.
Especially with alcohol, because there's enough messaging out there selling alcohol. Oh, we need to be banging the sober drum. Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that really bugs me now I'm sober, I think I've mentioned this to you, is television. If you are watching a TV drama or anything, it's just, they're always reaching for alcohol. And I've seen me, before I went sober, not thinking about drinking on a particular evening. And then, oh, I need a drink. And I would think, oh, so do I, you know?
Yeah.
I would go and open a bottle of wine when I was not intending doing that, simply because I was influenced by the TV.
That has to stop. Subconscious level.
That has to change.
It really does. But you've mentioned your sons there and your stepdaughter. And yeah. I mean, it is, I think the attitudes are changing.
I'm lucky that none of them are showing any forms of alcohol misuse at all, you know. And in fact, often, especially the eldest son, he'll be out with his friends and have an alcohol-free beer and things like that. And I just think, oh.
Good for him. Let's move on to your three things then. What's your first thing that you've noticed in sobriety that's improved, or first area?
Well, the first main area is relationships with my nearest and dearest has changed immensely. My marriage has changed because whilst I was drinking, as I said, my husband doesn't drink. I would kind of be drinking alone. You know, I would be in one room and he would be in another room because... Well, I was maybe scrolling on my phone and he's watching some TV program about World War II aircraft, which doesn't interest me, you know. But it was just like, we're just separated in the evening. My husband, we're both retired, so we're together through the day. But the evening time should be the nice, quiet time. But whilst I was drinking, I was... And then, of course, if I'm honest, sometimes once that bottle of wine was finished, I would be in a mood because... I wanted more, really.
Yeah.
And I knew if I opened up a second bottle, that would be a disaster. So most of the time, it was just after the bottle, I would be thinking, oh, why am I not having a wonderful time? We should have been having the best time. So then I would start picking an argument or, you know, he would say something that would just annoy me, so it would cause a little bit of friction. I mean, we weren't big arguers at all. And of course, the next day I would almost feel guilty thinking, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. And of course, now that alcohol's been removed, we don't have that at all. We don't have it. He still watches his World War II aircraft programs, but that's fine. You know, I do something else. And then we always sit down together around about 9 o'clock and watch something together. Whereas when I was drinking, if we did do that, I wouldn't remember the next day what I would have to secretly watch an episode of something. And then the same would happen the next night. And, you know, and it's just like, no, that has to stop. So the relationship with my husband has improved greatly, but of course, the most important relationships are with my children, and I call them children, they're my adult children, and that's just been fantastic. My eldest son, the pride from him just shines through. You know, he's just, I think he admires me now. I mean, we've always had respect for each other. We always have respect. Of course, probably when I was drinking, the respect was lacking from him, possibly. But now it's fully there, and it's wonderful. Our relationship is, in fact, I was lucky enough to have win tickets in the ballot for Wimbledon last year, and the first person it came to mind was him, because of course I'm sober at this point. And we went and had a weekend at Wimbledon, and it was amazing, absolutely amazing. I had my alcohol-free drinks and our snacks, and it was just the best weekend. And we really built up something that had been lacking. We had a few conversations. They weren't easy conversations, but it maybe made him understand some of the reasons that I got the way I was when I was, well, when I was drunk, really. But we had the best time. And, you know, I just messaged him before I spoke to you. And I remember when I got sober, we were up in our caravan and he visited on day 8. And I said to him, "Do you remember when I said I'm on day 8?" And he said, "Yeah, I do, Mum." And I said, "What were your thoughts?" And he said, "I just knew it was different. And I just felt so much pride in the fact that you were really making an effort to change things." And that just hasn't changed. The stepdaughter, she's always been diplomatic. She's in the middle ground. You know, I would maybe be having a bit of a set to with my youngest or my eldest, and Poppy was always the one that could just maybe just calm it down a little. I've just spent a week, they've moved to Edinburgh, her and her partner, and I've just spent the most lovely weekend with them. And the atmosphere has changed. I think it was just nice, and there was no tension. Because again, when I've been drunk, say, I would have a loose tongue, and I would probably say things that were none of my business or not appropriate. And I think I felt that from both of them this time, that they were calm because I wasn't going to say something that was going to annoy them. And the relationship with my youngest son, it's great because he plays in a band, and honestly, we're gigging. Seriously, it's like 63, you know. I would have thought the last thing I would want to do is go out for an evening and go and watch him with the band. But the relationship with him, knowing that I'm not drinking, because of course, if I had been, it'd be a wine, a wine, a wine, and then I would act silly or whatever. So he's just happy that I can come along to his gigs and get involved with the band. And I think the band think I'm pretty cool.
I think you're very cool.
So, you know, and we'll have a laugh. That was another thing. I always thought, it won't be funny if I don't have a drink.
We're so much wittier when we're sober.
Absolutely. Quicker as well.
Oh yeah, I am far funnier. I mean,
Yeah.
don't get me wrong, when you first remove alcohol, you feel a little flat
Yes.
because, you know, that's just the
Oh,
body readjusting and you
yes.
have to relearn how to
You do.
socialize
You
and
do. Yeah.
but I would
Yeah.
thank you for sharing with me.
Yeah, so
I haven't wanted to interrupt you at all, but I mean,
no.
talking about that relationship with your eldest son in particular, but all of
Yes.
your children,
Yes.
it is really, you know, I've been tearing up listening to you because the change.
Oh, and can you imagine how it feels for them?
Oh, just that
It's a
when you
relief.
said he was sat there and he was just so you could tell from you telling me then, so worried for you,
Yes.
so didn't know what to do, was prepared
No.
to walk away. God, it is unbelievable that a liquid can come in
Yes.
between people that love each other.
I know. I know. And I just couldn't see it, which is, yeah. The wine was stronger, simple as that, you know.
Yeah.
It was stronger than me changing, but clearly not to the end, because now it's gone.
You've done it and you've
yeah.
stepped back from it and you can see now. I mean, I look at it, I've got young children and I could see that my teenager, it's almost like I can fast forward in my brain to what it could have been like with them as adults.
Yes.
And I could have been in an incredibly similar situation there because my teenager was already fed up with me and Dale drinking.
Yeah.
She would tell me, you know, particularly if we were having a row. She'd be like, will you two stop drinking?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Which, to my shame, you know.
Well,
but
yes.
We have to be honest, don't we?
Those memories for her will disappear because she'll just have great memories now.
Yeah.
I hope that the damage I did, I hope it is reversible. It is. I can see it.
I was going to say, it already is by the sounds of things. And that's the thing as well, isn't it? It's not too late. You can't, because alcohol wants you to stay drinking. And it will come up with all these reasons, you know, it's too late for you. It doesn't matter. The damage has been done. Or it's all lies. You can turn things around. And it's not about, because we do get that wave of, I don't know if you've experienced this, but where you look back and you feel guilty over some of the things that you might have said or done or when you've been drinking, and you've got to get to a point where you've let that go, you know, and it's about what you're doing now and today and moving forwards. And it does make a difference.
It does. And I think I have got there. I definitely have. And well, yes, that's how I feel today. And that's why that's where the contentment comes in.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling of waking up every day. I mean, we'll get on to that because my next point, I want to move on to the next
yeah,
point.
Let's move on. Let's yeah, move on to the next point. Yeah.
Is the relief from the anxiety that I had. Of course, I'm not anxious free. I don't think anyone is, but the anxiety was crippling. And I didn't realize it. It really was crippling. And of course, you know, the wake ups at 3 a.m., I wouldn't get back to sleep for 2 hours. I was just totally anxious, thinking, why did I drink again today when I said I wasn't going to drink? And having that argument, I think your message this morning, it was about the ping pong effect. And that's exactly it. It's you know, you have this conversation with yourself and then you have at 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, it's a different conversation and it's just constant, and the anxiety. And then I think back to when I was going through the menopause, I was struggling, but of course I was drinking. And I think back when I went to the GP to get help, I couldn't take HRT due to my medical issues. You know, I thought, I need help here because my anxiety is completely through the roof. And I was handed a prescription for sertraline. There was a short discussion about my drinking, but not much. And of course, I then left the surgery and took the sertraline. I think I took it for about 6 months. And I thought, you know, and I did feel, I felt less anxious, but I felt numbed or something. I don't know. Yeah. I just didn't like it. And I thought, I'm not depressed, you know, but this was to help me through the menopause. Now, thankfully, we're a bit more savvy in that, thanks to Davina McCall. But, you know, at that time, it was just like, here's some antidepressants and that'll get you through it. What? No concern. And of course, another thing is your blood tests. Well, they're okay. So it's like a free pass to drink to continue.
It's we're looking for those free passes, though. We're looking for those permission slips.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, my anxiety has lessened to a controllable level. And I have to say, waking up every day knowing I'm not going to go through that crippling anxiety is worth everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big benefit there. So mm-hmm. What's your third benefit?
Well, that leads on to sleep. I'd forgotten what sleep was, really. Totally. I just had years of not sleeping and going back to the 3 a.m. wake up, but just not having quality sleep ever. I just didn't have it. And again, it's something that's not instant, because I would say that the sleep probably got worse, because of course I didn't have the alcohol to knock me out, because I would go to bed and be knocked out and be knocked out till 3 a.m. So now, when I first started being sober, I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. And then once I did sleep, I used to have these weird dreams about the fact that I was drinking as well. It's horrible. You wake up in a panic thinking, oh, why did I drink? Oh, no, it was a dream. That's okay. That's okay. But even in my dream, I was upset about it. You know, it was really quite, it was surreal. And it felt so real. I don't think I have those dreams anymore. I haven't had one for a long, long time. So it takes about, I would say, maybe 3 months before I started beginning to sleep. And now going to my bed is it's not the best time of day, but I love the routine. You know, you're just getting ready for bed, the skincare, reading, because how many times did I try and read after a bottle of wine and get nowhere? But now I can read. In fact, I'm at the point where I can't read that much because I'm tired and I want to go to sleep. And I'm getting into a really good sleep. And of course, we've all got watches these days. So I'm not so much, I used to check it regularly. How much deep sleep did I have? How much core sleep? This, that, and the next thing. Now I don't bother, because I know that I've had a fantastic sleep. And I really thought, at my age, that just didn't, sleep was a thing of the past. It's so not. It is really fantastic. And of course, if you have a great sleep, that then sets you up for the day. You can function through the day and not constantly think, oh, I'm tired, or whatever, you know, and can't wait for that 5 o'clock so at least I can sit down and relax. No.
Yeah.
It's
strange, isn't it? We hype the system with alcohol in order to then relax the system with alcohol. Oh. It's like the true nature of an addictive substance creates a need for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, and I think my husband's happy because I'm not tossing and turning all night as I would have done before, or getting up or whatever. So, sleep's been great. And I think that's helped my health in general, just everything. So I can't really, well, I guess we've spoken quite a while now, and that those are the reasons that giving up alcohol is just the best.
It really is. And so think back to that day where you were thinking, how can I live without it?
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give that version of you?
I would say that, for one, you can live without it. You can. And I think that was one of the keys that day. I, instead of saying, well, I'm going to try and do this. Let's see if I can do it. No, I said, I'm going to do it, because a couple of people have said to me, I wish I had your willpower. And I thought about this and I thought, you know, I don't know if determination and willpower are the same thing, but to me, I was determined. And then it led on to perseverance.
Yes. So
that was the difference. It was going from, well, maybe I can do it. So if anyone's thinking about it, maybe it's the change of mindset, isn't it?
It really is. That, and the way, and people do get a little bit stuck on that. How do I change mm-hmm. my mindset? How do I change? Mm-hmm. It's the language you use.
Yes.
Like you've just demonstrated there, and I did exactly the same thing as you. I hope mm-hmm. I can do this. I really want mm-hmm. to do this. No, I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing is going to sway me. Let's face it, most of us can be quite stubborn about things that we really want.
Yeah.
make it the thing that you really
you
want.
want.
And then it doesn't matter what
No.
thoughts come in.
No. I know. And something, I listened to a podcast, that podcast that you just did, where you said it didn't matter what your husband was doing. You did it. And that's another key, I would say, is just it's about you.
Yeah.
And doesn't matter what your husband, your sons, your friends, anyone else is doing, because that's not going to get you in the place that you want to be.
Yeah, the minute it's actually when you start to approach things as it's wonderful to do it as a couple, but you don't want to be looking to the other person
No.
like, are we drinking? Aren't we drinking? What
No.
are we doing? Because you're dealing with two sets of triggers then.
Yes,
And you'll
that's
enable
right.
each other. And
Yeah.
And that's what I ended up with when we
Yeah.
were both trying to do it together, but neither of us very committed at it. It was like, no, I'm going to be really single-minded. I don't mind what you do. This is, but can you please
Correct.
just be mindful of the fact I'm doing this? And he did join me, but it was still my journey. If, you know, if he chose to drink tomorrow, I'm not going to change.
No. Yeah. That's good. It's just doing it for yourself as much as, because that's one thing I would like to say is that, especially my eldest son, he didn't make me do this. You know, he was quite clear on what it was doing to him and how he was going to deal with it, because, and that was the right way to deal with it. So, you know, I maybe have friends that, oh, well, our kids, you know, they were the ones that influenced her. No, not at all. I knew I had to change, and that was it. And I made that choice. They helped me along the way, but it was my choice at the end of the day. And I'm so happy with the choice I've made.
Yeah. And it is, he set some boundaries.
Yes, exactly. I
Which
know.
We
It's
could
like
all learn from him.
The reversal of parenting.
But sometimes we need to, because we're all
Yes.
human. I mean, we have this weird concept sometimes, don't we, that the parents know more than the children. And actually, there is a point in life where the kids
Oh,
know more than the parents.
I have came to that realization. You know, if I'm struggling with anything, current affairs, I will ask them what their thoughts are on certain things. And, you know, they do know more because they've got the information. I was saying, my husband, years ago, we had to go and look up an encyclopedia, you know,
We
if we
used to
needed
have
to
them.
research something. Whereas, and of course, it's there for me too, but they've been brought up with that if they're, you know, if they hear something and they're not quite sure, they'll just go and research it themselves. And I think that's an amazing tool. And I wish I had been brought up with that. And then I might have been more informed about alcohol.
It is one of those things, though, unless you're looking for it about alcohol, you will see what you want to see.
Yeah.
And so if you're wanting to reaffirm to yourself that it's perfectly safe and everybody does it, then that's what you'll see. You'll see that everywhere.
Yes.
And it's only when you start to look and go, actually, this is toxic. This is absolutely insane, actually, that we're all drinking like this. I mean, we were just looking for a birthday gift, you know, going into these gift shops and things, me and my daughter, and everything is about wine.
Oh, I know. I know.
And it doesn't matter where you look.
Yeah, I know. And it's difficult. You know, of course, birthday cards came around. When your birthday comes around, my birthday cards used to all be, you know, about gin o'clock or this Prosecco time or this time or that. My friends are saying it's very difficult to find a card for you now.
I actually bought a card for somebody that's sober the other day, and I was really careful to choose a card that didn't have wine or anything, obviously. And then turned it over, and on the back, the company was called Prosecco and something.
Oh,
And I thought, are you kidding me?
I know, I know.
Yeah, it's getting it everywhere. But yeah, so what piece of advice would you give somebody? And you've sort of already given some brilliant pieces of advice. Is there anything that you'd say to somebody who's listening to this and thinking, gosh, you've said some things there that ring true with me?
I would say, stick at it.
Yeah, don't give
Stick
up.
at it. Don't give up. You may, you know, and if you think that you can't foresee a life without alcohol, it's a fallacy. It really is, because, like as I was saying, going out gigging with my son, I have a ball when I'm out. I must admit, I probably don't. You know, we used to go down to the pub, local pub, and for event a Friday night and have a bar meal and a few drinks, that kind of thing. I'm not really interested in anymore, but that's okay. I don't, you know, I'm happy to bypass that. Some people can do it, but for me, it's I just don't. I guess the pleasure of going down to that pub of a Friday night, it wasn't to have the food because it wasn't that great.
I was
But
actually going to say to you,
yeah.
like, when have you ever heard the words bar food
I know.
and thought, can't wait. You know, it's like, actually,
Yeah.
do you know what's really nice I find, and we did this when we just went to the lakes, is finding coffee shops and
Oh.
getting like breakfasts.
Yes, yeah. So there are things that you do have to change, but certainly stick at it because you'll find new things that excite you. And of
Yeah.
course, coffee is one for me. I was never a coffee. Well, I would maybe have the odd coffee. Now I can't live without the coffee in the morning. And one of the things I'm just researching into buying a good coffee machine
Yeah.
because, and I love my frother. When I was visiting my stepdaughter, she had the frother, and I thought, oh, and my birthday just happened to be a few days later, and she sent me a frother, which was lovely. And I do love my coffee. And as you say, going into coffee shops, and it's just a different way of life, but it's a great way of life.
It really is. Oh, Jackie, it has been so lovely to meet you and so
Oh,
lovely to chat to you for the last hour. Thank you.
I've really enjoyed it. I was so looking forward to it, and it's just been an absolute pleasure to join you. It really has.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like any support with your sobriety, then please reach out. You can visit my website, louisaevans.com, where you'll be able to send me a message. And you can look at some of the things I've put together to help you. There are links to my Dry January podcast, my audiobook on Audible. As a clinical hypnotherapist, as well as a therapist, I have created lots of different hypnotherapy recordings that you can listen to help you on any subject. You'll find those on the website too, alongside my Sober Resilience course. As a listener of the show, you can use the code SOBERREBEL to buy one, get one free on any hypnosis or relaxation recording. I really hope you enjoyed this show as much as I enjoyed recording it. Have a great day. Until next time.